So the Holy Gospel for this Reformation Day is in John, the 8th chapter. And Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "But we're descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What can you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there in the household forever. So if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed." So, here we are, this Reformation Day, launching into one of the most momentous years in 500 years of church history. This document that I have here, Declaration on the Way, has been jointly issued by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops and by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, our denomination. It was voted on last summer in Assembly in New Orleans, and in it, it lays out the 32 areas of faith and life that we already agree on between us, and the 15 we're still working on. And we're going to have people studying, having a conversation between Lutheran and Catholic churches all over the world on the local level, including right here in the Woodlands. We are gifted to be able to have a conversation this year with St. Simon and Jude. You know where that is? It's right around the corner, St. Simon and Jude Catholic Church, right on Glenlock. We're going to join to partner with them in conversation about this Declaration, five from each church, and we're going to be talking about what it makes sense for us to do together in ministry, like disaster relief in our community, like we were doing last year. What sense does it make for us to do it alone? We're going to talk about how we could do that better together. Stuff like that. And we're going to pray for that process at our festival for All Saints next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. I hope you can come. Father Pat Garrett from St. Simon and Jude will be preaching. Isn't that cool? So this is going to be a neat first for us this year, too. And tomorrow morning at 8:30, you will be able to join in the global celebration of the launching of this year of conversation. It's going to be at 8:30 in the morning, live streamed from the Lund Cathedral in Sweden. It's the Lund Lutheran Cathedral in Sweden. You can go to elca.org or this, you know, Lund 2016, you can just do that, and you can get on tomorrow morning at 8:30 or watch it later perhaps. Exciting, because it's going to be led by Pope Francis and by the head of the Lutheran World Federation. His name is, I bet you don't know this either, Munib Yunan. He's the bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Jordan and the Holy Land. Huh? How cool is that? Wow. What a reset button, huh? In a time of such hostility in our world, and all the divisions, even in this country, we offer to the world this hopeful witness, namely, there can be reconciliation in Christ. Even for two church groups, Christian groups, who've been at odds with each other for 500 years. Just think of that, huh? Wow. And one way to talk about that relationship is this message that's in our scripture readings today that you've been hearing. Forgiveness is freedom. That was at the heart of what Martin Luther said as a priest back in 1517 when he nailed his 95 ideas for reform on the Wittenberg church door. Behind it all, in this resetting, reforming thing, was forgiveness is freedom. Not just for church institutions, but for us as persons as well. Because when you and I are given to reset our relationship with God, just like that, In the forgiveness he offers us in Jesus Christ, we are made free. And just as human beings need sleep to be able to reset each and every day, we need forgiveness each and every day to reset our lives. But you know what? Our culture doesn't buy that, does it? That we need forgiveness. But the truth is, all of us, you and I, we're sinners. We're sinners. We're in bondage, as Luther says it, to the devil, the world, and our own sinful self. We're in bondage to cosmic forces that are evil and push things around and try to destroy things. We're in bondage to forces in the world. Some of us, you know, are so in bondage to this election, we can't turn our TVs off. You know what I mean? Can't free ourselves from that. Won't it be good when that's done in a week? Phew. And finally, we're in bondage to our own sinful self. And that's what we're going to look at today. And this is the thing about bondage, about slavery. We get trapped. We get locked in, sucked in so subtly sometimes without even knowing. We don't even notice we've become enslaved. But Jesus says this, I tell you the truth. Everybody who commits sin is a slave to sin. That's just the way it is. And the Jews who were listening to him said, what? What do you mean? Slaves? We're descendants of Abraham. We haven't ever been slaves to anybody. Never been slaves, huh? Let me think here. Remember that little thing that happened in Egypt, guys? Or in Persia? Or in Rome, for that matter? They kind of forgot something, didn't they? About slavery. Recovering alcoholics tell us that denial is not a river in Egypt. But are we any different? Do we perceive our bondage to sin? In an age of feel-good theology that goes like this, God loves you and just wants you to be happy, so just be kind of nice, okay? That's in an age of enlightened self-care books. We don't like to hear we're in bondage to sin and can't free ourselves. So Kenda Creasy Dean in her book, Almost Christian, says, that is what most churches are dishing out these days. God loves you, wants you to be happy, be nice to each other. The fact is, Luther says, he uses this definition, sin is man curved in upon himself. And not just once in our lives, but time after time after time after time, we keep falling into that bondage of being curved in on ourselves. Just when we thought we learned our lesson last time, we find ourselves doing the same darn thing again, don't we? And then that leads to, you know, if, this fancy word, the bondage leads to just being nicer, this little word, if you and I would just work a little bit harder, we could stick to that diet. We could stick to that spiritual practice. We could stick to getting to church every week. We could stick to that new exercise plan that we committed to. If we were a little bit nicer, maybe we could be more accepting of people that are different from us. If we tried just a little harder, maybe we could stop yelling at our kids or kids yelling at our parents. Or if we were tried a little harder at encouraging our kids, maybe, just maybe, they'd become rich and famous and take care of us in our old age. And then this leads to another way that we do this curved in upon ourselves thing of sin. We judge others as well, don't we? You know, if he were just a little more thoughtful, if she just shut up and listened to me once in a while, you know. How many of you have been married at least for 15 years? At least once. Well, then you know how successful you've been in improving your spouse, don't you? You're not laughing very much this service, and I don't know here. But doesn't it feel good to at least be right, even if your spouse won't change? But it leaves us trapped, curved in upon ourselves the way that Adam and Eve were way back then, the sin of assuming we know better than God, even, that this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. I'm right, you're wrong, usually, that means, right? And then it's just as bad because it comes to judging ourselves. And that can lead to depression, despair, hopelessness, and even suicidal thoughts. And I just want to be dead. I just can't measure up, you know? And the hardest part, though, is when we're not able or not willing to admit this. Like the alcoholic who lives in denial, who says, you know, I can quit anytime, right? Or you might hear an alcoholic saying, well, if you were married to somebody like that, you'd drink too. On and on in that particular bondage to the sin of diseased alcoholism or other addictions until it destroys your health, your family, and your career. Yes, sin can so subtly enslave us, just like it enslaved Jesus' listeners that day. And Paul's listeners as well. You heard Susan hear what Paul had to say to the people in Rome. He says, you know, there's no distinction between you guys. Whether you think your sin isn't as bad as somebody else's or not, since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, they are put right by God's grace as a gift through the setting free, the redeeming that is in Jesus Christ. Yes, forgiveness is freedom. But that forgiveness doesn't have any power as long as we think we don't need it. Or that we can still do it all by ourselves, just be nicer, keep paddling upstream, paddling harder, a little harder, right up that river of denial. And it's only when our canoe gets swamped, when we realize we're licked, when we realize that none of our efforts are going to do it, and when we realize sometimes painfully our efforts have brought us nothing but sorrow and despair, then, when we realize we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves, we finally can cry out with the tax collector in last week's gospel, God, have mercy on me, a sinner! Huh? That's the very moment that God's forgiveness steps in to redeem your life, to begin that process. And it begins to have more power over you than the devil, the world, and our own sinful self. God, be merciful to me, a sinner! At the heart of it, I'm not nice. I'm another sorry sinner just like the rest of them. Well, the reset isn't our doing, thank God. It's God's doing, isn't it? And God's forgiveness is always there waiting for us, ready to reset our lives. But we have to want it. We have to hunger for it. We have to long for it. We have to recognize our need for it, or it has no power whatsoever. But once we recognize how desperate we are for God's forgiveness and love, and I'm talking to all of us, including our First Communion kids, listen, kids, when we realize that, how desperate we are, I'm telling you, once you get a taste of God's forgiveness and love in that meal, it might never seem enough. That's what Luther said. Once you taste God's grace, it's never enough. You always want more. And it might be that once a week isn't enough for you. Pastor John and I receive communion three times every Sunday, and sometimes that's not enough for me, you know, because I've come to realize this. I'm a sinner. You all knew it already. Now I know it. And because I've come to realize that Jesus Christ came to die for me, a sinner, and offers himself for me, forgiveness is freedom. Forgiveness is freedom. So, yes, our first-time communion kids, we invite you to this table of God's forgiveness today. And again, and again, and again, throughout your whole lives, to taste of God's forgiveness. That's the reset button, see? God's forgiveness in Jesus that alone has the power to set churches free, to set the world free, to set you free.